Welcome to the Transform Your Mind Radio Hour and Podcast, a show about transformation, mindset transformation. This is Life Coach Marnie Young, and in my book, Out of the Snares, A Story of Hope and Encouragement, I share my journey of being born in poverty in Guyana to have an abundance in America. And I did it by changing my mindset. Let's go do it. Each week, I bring you guests or one-on-one coaching sessions to help you change your mindset and transform your life. Welcome back to the Transform Your Mind to Transform Your Life radio podcast and a television show. I'm your host, Life Coach Marnie Young, and sitting in the guest chair today is Paul Salter. Paul is a registered dietitian, coach, author, and a sustainable weight loss expert. Now, I'm going to give you a hint. That's what we're going to be focusing on today, not just weight loss, but sustainable weight loss. The exact topic that we're going to be discussing is how to guarantee a successful diet before you even start. And successful means that you keep the weight off, I'm assuming. So now let me take the thunder from Paul, but Paul, welcome.
Yes, Marina, thank you so much for having me. It's exciting to be here, and I look forward to our awesome conversation ahead.
Yes, I look forward to it too, because hey, you know, I'm going to learn something. Myself, you know, I've been battling the bulge. And, you know, at my age, it's incredibly difficult to, I mean, I sustain my weight because I'm very, I would keep weight for 10 years or something. But, you know, when it goes up, it stays up. But when it, you know, it doesn't seem to come down. But I'm going to learn some things from you too. Okay. So let me give you guys a little bit more information about Paul so that we can set the tone for a conversation. Like I mentioned before, Paul is a registered dietitian, coach, author, and sustainable weight loss expert. He firmly believes that weight loss related challenges aren't related to lack of nutrition or knowledge, but are actually projections of deeper rooted emotional and psychological challenges that one wouldn't be able to confidently sustain weight loss until those challenges are acknowledged and overcome. His passion is helping men and women just like you reframe their thoughts and reshape their behaviors so that they can transform their relationship with food and dieting. Love that word, transform. And finally, lose unwanted pounds once and for all. Since 2013, Paul has worked one-on-one with over 1,437 men and women just like you who have collectively lost more than 10,000 pounds, thousands of inches, and maintain their results. There's that phrase again. All right. So, So Paul, as we start off, I usually like to start off my interviews just getting an understanding a little deeper than the bio. So what's your story? You look pretty trim and fit. Did you have a problem with weight loss at one point? How did you get into this work?
Yes, I appreciate the kind words. And I have quite an interesting and diverse journey. So for me, it started off with a late growth spurt. And what I mean by that is at 16 years old, as a multi-sport athlete, I was about 5'1" and 110 pounds. As you can imagine, it was quite challenging to keep up with all of my peers who were bigger, stronger, faster than me. And it finally clicked one day. And I don't know why. I like to give my mother all of the credit in the world. But what I was eating and putting into my body was enabling me to perform better during sport practices, competition. I was able to keep up with everyone despite the size advantage that they had. And I took that nugget of knowledge with me and carried it into college, where I shared my newfound love for, you know, exercise, weightlifting, and nutrition with friends, and quickly realized that my peer group was turning to me more often than not for advice related to nutrition, related to weightlifting. And it finally dawned on me that maybe I could get paid to just talk about nutrition and weightlifting all day. So I began to study for my personal training certification, but I still remember to this day exactly where I was. And I read, I believe it was chapter 23 of the big exam book. It was called Sports Nutrition. And that was my light bulb or aha moment that I finally realized there are actually people out there who are helping others or helping even athletes pay attention to what they're eating, when they're eating, so that they can feel, look, and perform at their very best. And the very next week, I went into my, I guess they were called my supervisor or counselor's office, declared my major as dietetics, and then went down the path of studying nutrition. But the thing is, at this time, Myrna, across all collegiate athletics, you know, thousands of colleges, I really wanted to get into sports nutrition. There were only 7 sports dietitians in the whole nation.
Really?
Yeah, crazy to think about, right? So it was definitely a very new area of focus, but I was fortunate enough to be proactive and a bit aggressive, if you will, putting my resume everywhere to meet the right people to lead me through a path in which I spent time in a hospital. I knew it wasn't time for me, but that's part of a dietitian's training. And I spent a lot of time doing competitive bodybuilding as I went through this journey of self-discovery. And this is where I started to really understand the holistic, you know, specifically the emotional and psychological impact that dieting has on people. And that when we finish a diet, trying to return, I guess, to a sense of normalcy is a lot easier said than done. And from that was really, you know, birthed, if you will, a passion for helping people sustain their results. And that's really what I took with me through my first couple of jobs up until I left to do things on my own.
Wow. Yeah, that's a great story. As you were talking, you know, this is what happens when people talk, you know, my mind goes to, you know, to where did I hear this before? Or where is that similar? And a couple of things came up. I'll mention it first because of that sign that you have back there, Mamba mentality. I remember, I don't think it's The Last Dance, but it was some kind of interview with someone just like you that said that he coached Michael Jordan, but he was a strange person and that he just sent out his resumes all over and Michael Jordan wanted to work with him. So similar to what you were just saying, I don't remember his name.
But I could tell you his name.
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about, right? Yeah, tell me
Tim,
who that
Tim
is.
Grover.
Okay. All right. Right. So, and Mike, yeah. So where did I see that? Was that part of the Last Dance interview or was
it
he just
was.
Talking something else? It was, huh?
Yeah. Mm. And I also, just came out with a new best-selling book back in May, which I highly recommend. Okay. It's called Winning: The Unforgiving Race. And he talks about his story a lot there as well.
Right. Yeah. So that's amazing. So I'm glad that you're on that same path, you know, sending out your resumes anywhere. And have you had success like him? Like, getting a star player to say, I want you.
Well, I can say I've been very fortunate to work with many collegiate professional Olympic athletes during my years and happily now serve my community, which is just a completely transformational and indescribably awesome community of people.
This next track is from Ghana artist Rage Perry, MMMT. This song is called Cash Out. Stream this track on soundcloud.com/Marcus-Gates-1. Or watch this music video on YouTube. Cash Out. Money every day in your life.
Yeah, it's your boy, Raj Perry, MMMT, Money Making Machine Team, the whole world.
MT Energy Field Cone, where are my boy?
Scary for the money.
Hustle, 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 we the hustle for the money. Hustle, 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 we the hustle every day. Hustle, 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 we the hustle for the money. Hustle, 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 we the hustle every day.
Sikayo, sikayo, it's a boy me in ghetto. Sikayo, sikayo, it's a boy me in ghetto. Sikayo, sikayo, it's a boy me in ghetto. Sikayo, sikayo, it's a boy me in ghetto.
Now look at your manuzo, wakuni nyabakope. Edla koji sika dro Beti mani vodariti Togwe senyi masutre Why you go kill your mother? Because of money you dey kill You don't know say go fi bless you Sika yo, sika yo Yeah, yeah
In her book, Splinters of My Soul, author Kimberly Morton Cottrell answers the question, how deep is the bond of siblings when one's career, marriage, life, and darkest secrets are on the line? Splinters of My Soul tells of the heart-wrenching story of six little girls with horrifying injuries that leads to a gruesome murder in Cloverdale. Tiffany Brown Carson's world comes crashing down, jeopardizing her medical career and revealing things better left unsaid. Against the wishes of the local police, her brother, Tony Brown begins a painstaking search for the truth. His relentless actions uncover a chilling secret forbidden by his sister and evidence of massive corruption from low-ranking officers to as high up as the chief of police. Pick up your copy of Splinters of My Soul, now available on Amazon.
Have you ever felt like a chameleon? While you are able to get along with all people all the time, you're never quite seen as your true self. Well, welcome to the Blended in America podcast, where we talk about all the things that make us stand out, why we feel different, and how we can embrace our uniqueness to live a more confident, fulfilled, and authentic life. That's the Blended in America podcast. I'm your host, Marcella G, and you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, or wherever you listen to podcasts. That's the Blended in America podcast. Check us out today. I can't wait to meet you.
What if I told you that you can increase sales dramatically for your business and it won't cost you an arm and a leg? Hi, I'm Robert Hudson from IncreaseSalesDramatically.com. I want to help you attract more customers organically by getting you to the top of online search engines without the ridiculously high price tag of online or offline advertising. Learn more by going to my website, IncreaseSalesDramatically.com. That's IncreaseSalesDramatically.com.
Okay. Well, hey, we're going to set the intention that somebody, you know, is going to listen to this interview and they're going to say, I want Paul Salter. See, I told you I want to call you Salter. And then the first thing that popped into my head, though, was I read Tom Brady's book. And he talked specifically that his body is an asset and what he puts into it, you know, and I was, I'm not into football, but I don't know why I read the book, but I think I heard him in a podcast as well. You know, I get a lot of my reading material from listening to interviews and podcasts, and then I go out and get the book. But, you know, I have a grandson that plays football, and I sent that to him because, you know, his the way that he goes about nutrition and his body and the water and all that kind of stuff, and so that he wouldn't, you know, get hurt. It's amazing. So, you know, we started off in a, you know, what you're saying is basically, you know, what we do, that nutrition is important. So a follow-up, why do you think there was only seven nutrition people in your community or, you know, the country, I think you said?
Great question. And, you know, from my understanding and my, I guess my hypothesis blended in there as well, for the longest time, it was the strength and conditioning coaches shouldering the load of the weightlifting, the conditioning, the coaching, the leadership. And, oh, by the way, can you squeeze some nutrition in there? And it wasn't really until, you know, late 80s, early 90s that a lot of sports nutrition research started to be conducted. But then we needed to fast forward another 10 or 20 years before it kind of became more well-known and actually accepted. And as, you know, you can probably relate to in seeing in your past experiences, you know, sometimes it's very easy to get stuck in our own ways. And it's hard for us to break out of our routine that we've been conditioned to. And I think that's simply what happened here. And once the research became so overwhelmingly supportive that, hey, what you eat before, during, and after makes a huge difference, you know, ultimately they were able to create opportunities for individual experts to step in and take the lead in such a position.
Yeah, that's pretty good. All right, so let's transition to our topic. That was a great intro. Now, as I said, we're going to be focusing a lot on, you know, everybody knows a diet. You can even, you know, later on in the conversation, actually, you know, give us the definition of that, because I know it fluctuates. But, you know, we're going to be talking about, you know, maintaining weight loss. So the question I have here is, what's the real reason or the number one influencing factor that people can't maintain their weight loss? They go on this diet and, I don't know, 6 months later, they're back to the same weight, or even sometimes they gain more. So yeah, what's that about?
I think there's two major driving forces behind this occurrence. And the first one actually goes really right well with what you just said about the definition of the word diet. It's a perfect opportunity to talk about this, because there are actually two definitions to the word diet. There's the one that we are all so familiar with, which is intentionally eating fewer calories to lose weight. And that's the one that, you know, the weight loss industry promotes very heavily and tries to, you know, for lack of better words, brainwash us with. However, the second definition is simply a habitual way of eating. And the best example I like to describe to illustrate that definition difference is, you know, a vegetarian or someone who follows a plant-based diet doesn't necessarily mean that said person is eating to try to lose weight. So really what it encompasses is a lifestyle, a foundation of healthy behaviors and a healthy relationship related to our food choices. And where we all go wrong as a whole population is we focus on the former definition, only intentionally eating to lose weight. And what happens as a result of focusing on the wrong definition as we develop a very short-term focus. And where things go wrong is, you know, we commit ourselves to 30-day cleanse, 90-day transformation, 12-week this, that, the other, but we never have a plan for day 91, day 92. It's kind of like, oh crap, what do I do now? I just made all these massive changes for the short term because I was really committed, motivated, and exciting. Motivation has now waned, excitement has now waned, and I now realize I do not have a foundation of healthy eating habits that help me feel and look my best to fall back upon. Crap, I'm going to fall back on what I'm used to, and then the weight comes back.
Okay, so you, you know, you're saying that the weight comes back because they eat, they fall back on their bad food choices. Mm-hmm. But I've been told, or, you know, read or heard, wherever, that a lot of times they gain the weight back is because they change their metabolic rate from the dieting. Can you talk on that?
Happily, yes. So one of the biggest things we have to remember when we diet is dieting is a major psychological, emotional, and physiological stressor. Your body wants nothing more than to bring you out of the diet. So what happens when we begin eating fewer calories to initiate weight loss, our body starts to enter this protective mode. It really begins to hoard. And anytime we get excess calories, it holds onto them for dear life to simply try to store them to protect itself from future stress. But what happens is when we begin dieting, our body wants to conserve energy. And the way this manifests is simply our metabolic rate, or the number of calories we burn per day, begins to slowly decline. And what also happens is there are hormonal changes that actually make you hungrier and less likely to want to stay on track with your plan. Our cravings increase, et cetera. So I like to joke, you know, our body is almost like a professional kickboxer. It's going to punch and kick from any which angle to fight to get you out of that calorie deficit. And you have to be prepared to handle the punches, the kicks, maybe the headbutts, the occasional elbow, who knows what.
Yeah, so that's good. So that's basically what I heard. And I've seen it where, you gain it back and you gain it back faster because you're changing your cellular structure. So would you say that that's the number one mistake that people make that leads to regaining the weight loss while dieting, is maybe a calorie restrictive diet, or is there more?
Great question. So I think it's important to note, to diet and to really initiate weight loss, you have to be in a calorie deficit, or there has to be some form of calorie restriction. And there's no problem with that whatsoever. It's literally an essential step. But what happens is the harsher your calorie restriction or the longer your restriction, your body is so dynamic and adapts so quickly. And let me give a numerical example to help. Let's say somebody's eating 2,000 calories per day. They decide they want to lose weight and they slowly drop their calories to 1,600, 1,200, maybe even 1,000. People get too excited and make such harsh changes in their calorie restriction that their body adapts so quickly. And then when they get to day 91, for example, and they just return to their old eating habits, now they've been accustomed to eating 1,000 calories per day. They go right up to 2,000 or even more. And like I mentioned earlier, their body just wants to hold on to all of those excess calories to protect themselves. Okay. And there comes the weight gain.
It's your boy Bugatti. Oh, nana. Pepsi, da. Pepsi, da. Two wrongs can never make it right. Baby, make we know the fight. Oh, oh, wait. Oh, wait. Oh, wait. I will never let you down. Baby, take me as I am. Oh, wait. So make you the call me your dog, call me your dog. Ah, I am my old boy. So make you the call me your dog, call me your dog. Because I find your love interesting. So baby, making all the stress me away.
The Entrepods team is excited to announce the new Bootstrap Bootcamp. This self-paced course is loaded with worksheets and innovative industry advice to make your business become more profitable in the next 30 days. This course is specifically designed for solopreneurs or those that work in small teams. We focus on the whys and hows of entrepreneurship to help you make time for the important things in life and take it to the next level. Take back your confidence and become the business owner you've always wanted to be. If you get stuck, our course is equipped with industry experts in business management, podcasting, social media, customer relations, and more. We're here to give you powerful strategies that have been refined for small business owners like yourself. Sign up today at entrepods.com/bootstrap-bootcamp.
Vignettes of the Possibly Dying is a collection of spiritual prose, poetry, and meditations by Australian author K.B. Eliza. K.B. Eliza started to write stories the year she tried to live in a treehouse. That year was an unusually wet one, with thunder that made her dog shake. As a young child, she loved to escape into the dimension of storytelling. Vignettes of the Possibly Dying are stories about fate, hope, and a strong notion that there may be more beyond our world that we can perceive. People are loving this book. One review said, "Must have book. Raw emotional honesty that made me rethink about different perspectives on spirituality and other preconceived ideas I held. I have ordered more for Christmas gifts." Another review said, "A must for those searching for peace and clarity. A collection of poems that reassure spark, thought, and ignite change." Pick up your copy of Vignettes of the Possibly Dying on Amazon or by visiting kbeliza.com.
In this technology-filled world, it is easy for our kids to get lost in video games, the internet, and so on, such that they forget just how beautiful the world around them is. Does this sound like your little ones? Would you want them to change their perspective so that they can see that the world is full of so much richness and beauty? If so, the book from author Dwayne Williams, Into the Woody Hills, available on Amazon, is the help you've been searching for. This must-read book will resonate with your kids and teach them that there is more to life than just screens. It makes the perfect gift for any child in your life. Your own kids, your grandchildren, nieces, nephews, even kids in your classroom. So are you ready to change your kids' lives? One story can change everything and help you achieve all of this. Into the Woody Hills is an amazing storybook designed for all children that will teach kids the beauty of the world around us. Order your copy right now on Amazon. Into the Woody Hills, from author Dwayne Williams.
Okay, so that's the number one reason to harshly restricting their calories. Do you have another suggestion of how you how that works, how they should do it?
Absolutely. So the two points to keep in mind. Now, the first is you want to try to lose weight eating as many calories as possible. And let me explain that, because I know it kind of sounds a little funny.
That's a what do you call that? A paradox or something?
Yes. Or like an oxymoron, one of those.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's it. Okay.
So if we go back to that numerical example, let's say I'm eating 2,000 calories to maintain my weight. I decide I want to diet and I reduce my calories to 1,600 calories. And all of a sudden I start losing, an appropriate amount of weight every single week. Well, if I'm losing weight at 1,600 calories, I'd be kind of foolish to immediately jump down to 1,200. That would make it, that much harder, which would challenge compliance, and you're more likely to get way off of track, maybe succumb to binge-like behavior. So we want to eat as many calories as we can while still driving weight loss. And an appropriate, our optimal rate of weight loss is about 0.5 to 1% of your body weight per week, which, for example, let's say a 200-pound person, that's 1 to 2 pounds per week. And we want to just simply take a patient stepwise process in how we go about reducing our portion or calorie intake. And then when it comes time to transition after or out of a diet, this is what I like to call the post-diet maintenance phase. You need to take the same planning and excitement that you had about building structure around your diet to life after dieting. And just like you did with your diet, you almost, it's actually called a reverse diet in many circles. You're going to slowly bring your calories back up. You're not going to go from 1,000 to 2,000 overnight. Okay. You're going to do so in a diligent, stepwise fashion again.
Okay, I got it. So this is probably a good time to talk about, because one of the questions I have here is, what's the difference between a maintenance diet and post-maintenance? You just talked about the post-maintenance, which is where you gradually bring your calorie level back up so that your body can get accustomed to, what you're doing to it. So what should we do as a pre-maintenance?
Fantastic question. So the way I like to talk about a pre-diet maintenance phase is when somebody comes to me, and it's about 99% of those I work, they say, hey, I want to lose X amount of weight and I want to lose it yesterday. And, it's the typical, we want all of our results yesterday. But when I go through their questionnaire and have these initial conversations with them, I get a really good picture of their current foundation of eating habits, if there are any habits in place. And I also really get to gain a good understanding of their relationship with food. And what inevitably happens more often than not is people who want to start a diet don't really have any foundation in place. Maybe they're dining out 7 times a week, or they're skipping meals here and there, and then they're binging later, et cetera. So this pre-diet maintenance phase is a point, or an opportunity rather, to start building a unique, sustainable structure for that individual. And because changing habits can be a stressful process on its own, we don't want to add additional layers of stress in the form of a calorie deficit. Like as we just mentioned, that's a psychological, emotional, and physiological stressor on its own. So it's during this phase, we're not trying to lose weight whatsoever. We're simply working on rebuilding a foundation of healthy eating habits, one that is unique and sustainable, and also reframing or rebuilding our relationship with foods, so that we're really thinking for the long term from day one.
All right. So, so as you were talking, I'm getting this picture of, let's say that somebody liked to eat, I'm making this up, but let's say somebody likes to eat pizza or fried food or something, and they're 50 pounds overweight, right? So they come to you and you ask these questions, and you understand that they have this relationship with food where they're eating bad foods. So instead of you saying, well, okay, I'm going to put you in this calorie restricted diet so that you can start losing weight, what you do is maybe you stare them to some vegetables or fruit or something. Is that what you mean? Is there a diet? I mean, yeah, explain that so that someone's listening can understand what that means.
Right. Absolutely. So in the, 10 plus years of doing this, working with 1400 plus people, those who have had the most success, it all boils down to three common principles. And that's related to the foundation of their food and eating habits. And those principles are simply, literally, simplicity, individualization, and sustainability. So, if you and I, for example, Myrna, were working together from day one, I'm really going to ask you a lot of questions, challenge you to think differently about what, an ideal day of eating, nourishing your mind and body, your soul looks like. So for example, maybe you only want to eat three times per day. Maybe, your best friend wants to eat five times per day. We focus on you. So we really build a structure that is unique to you. So if you want to eat three times per day, great. I'm going to have collected information about what your eating looks like as of late. And I'm going to be able to identify what I like to call areas of focus or areas for growth. And we're going to start with the most, one I feel most important that's going to give you the quickest win right away. And we're going to take that and we're going to build positive momentum before we move to the next one. And one of the most common ones I get is people coming to me under eating protein. So maybe that's looking at ways to add in protein throughout the day. Maybe even, I like to say sneak protein in so you can reap the many benefits protein has to offer without making some completely upheaval change to your current approach to nutrition and eating.
Okay. All right. So I got it. So you're just getting them, maybe in touch with what they're eating and getting them into, starting the diet phase and maybe even seeing if they can follow it, to be quite honest. So I got that. Okay. So is there anything else you want to add to the post-maintenance phase other than, deliberately get your calories? Intentionally start eating back those calories. Is there anything else you want to add to that?
I would say that the focus needs to be equally, if not higher, than during the dieting phase. Because if you think about it, if let's say someone has a goal weight loss, a goal of weight loss of 20 pounds, for example, and maybe it takes them one diet, maybe it takes them two. That's not important. What's important is how they spend the time structuring the time in between diets. Because if you are going to diet and then maintain your weight loss successfully, you should probably only spend about 1% of the rest of your life ever dieting. Like, think about that for a minute. If you do one good diet and you learn how to maintain your weight loss, you never have to diet again, which is fantastic.
Yeah. But, so that's where you're talking about lifestyle, right?
Yes.
Right.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So right, during the post-diet maintenance phase, we want to pay attention to, of course, the gradual increases in your calories, your portions, to get you back to a level that supports everything you want to do to live life to the fullest. But during this time, too, we need to really put a lot of attention and time into redefining what normal or balance or moderation looks like for you as an individual, and then view each of those through the lens of sustainability so that weight maintenance continues to happen as you kind of literally operate on this new version of autopilot with your eating and exercise as well as self-care habits.
Okay, so in your program, do you include exercise or just diet?
We focus a lot on nutrition, but we actually focus a lot more on, the emotion, behavioral, and mindset aspects that this whole sustainable weight loss equation entails.
Yeah,
so not much on exercise.
Right. Yes. Yeah, the brain, the mindset. Yeah, I got you.
This podcast is sponsored by HappyBeingWell.com. HappyBeingWell.com carries the best selection of natural products for your self-care pleasures, including high fashion, high comfort yoga leggings, crystals, sage, natural candles, natural soaps, natural face masks, and more. Go to happybeingwell.com to subscribe to our newsletter and get 10% off your purchase, including free shipping in the USA.
Spiritual Wickedness in High Places is a book about church mess. Ever heard the saying, there ain't no mess like a church mess? Author Steph Byers captures church mess and a whole lot more in her new book. Follow the story of five powerful Black women in this suspense thriller as they fulfill their destiny. An innocent baby saint, a doting pastor's wife, a single mother of six, a sacrificial lamb, and God's Redeemer. Break chains and tear down strongholds. Rated 4.9 stars on Amazon. Pick up your copy of Spiritual Wickedness in High Places wherever books are sold. The author is available to speak to book clubs and events. Autographed copies are available upon request. Spiritual Wickedness in High Places. Do you have someone who you would like to show appreciation to? Maybe the nurse who cared for you in the hospital, or the teacher who found unique ways to teach your child during the pandemic, or your loved one. Well, the appreciator is a unique item that was created to serve the purpose of letting someone know you appreciate them for what they do. Most gifts you would give to a person are the same all the time. The appreciator is something different and new. You can add a card or flowers or anything to the appreciator. To show your appreciation, head over to www.sirot.com and place your order. That website again is www.sirot.com. Ladies, are you looking to transform your eyes with stunning lashes? Then look no further. Check out YamanBeauty.com. We offer the highest quality mink lashes, 25 millimeters, 100% mink. They are cruelty-free, hyperallergenic, handmade, lightweight, waterproof to give you beauty in every wink. Shop the sale and get 10% off luxury lashes and beauty accessories with your first order. Shop online at YamanBeauty.com or follow us on Instagram at YamanBeauty. That website again is YeimanBeauty.com.
So you know, somebody's coming into your program, you help them with the pre-diet, you have them on a diet, they lose their 20 pounds, and then you have the post-maintenance where it's a lifestyle shift. And if they do those three things, the million-dollar question is weight loss sustainable?
It absolutely is, but here's the one thing I'll include is before someone who enters our community and program, before they receive, you know, instructions in the individual one-on-one care to build out their pre-diet maintenance phase, they actually spend the first couple of months not even focusing on nutrition. We spend a lot of time up in here and in, I'm pointing to my head and in the heart, really looking to understand their past, how, for example, their childhood, potential childhood traumas, relationships with parents, guardians, friends, their environment shaped their current relationship with food, dieting, and themselves. And we really use this as an opportunity to shine a big bright spotlight of awareness on some of the ways our past experience, or rather is affecting self-talk, limiting beliefs, toxic thoughts, counterproductive habits. So we spend a lot of time there first before even getting to the nutrition, because if we can start making some tiny, you know, like nth of a percent or degree changes, they're going to accumulate and compound over time so that when we get to the actual nutrition nuts and bolts, it actually feels really easy. And I can't tell you how often, Mara, that's the response we get is, for the first time in my life, eating healthy or losing weight was finally easy. Things just begin to click when you tackle the deeper rooted issues.
Yeah. I was listening to Super Soul Sunday the other day, and Oprah was talking exactly about that when she started to clear up why, you know, because her food was chips. I don't know how much weight you can gain, but chips. Uh-huh. But you must have to eat a lot of chips in order to gain a lot of weight. But, you know, she has maintained that chips is her weakness. And she was saying that, you know, when she understood, you know, the past trauma that was making her eat, then, you know, she would immediately go to a bag of chips to self-medicate, you know, but we all know that, and that's basically where we started off talking about, that people have the knowledge, but they just don't do the work. You didn't say that, I'm adding that, but you have the knowledge, because if you know that, you're sitting, in the evening and, you're just eating nonstop, which is when a lot of people do it, You're just eating nonstop. You've got to know in your brain that there's something wrong there that you can't stop, but nobody does the work to figure out what's your trigger and why they're doing this. But you know, when they come to you, I'm almost sure that they have to be more than 20 pounds in order to come to you to do that work, because it's a lot of work in order to understand why you're overeating, why you're on this yo-yo diet. You go for 90 days, as you say, and you're doing all the right things, and then you go right back to doing the things that you know you shouldn't do, and gain all the weight back. So any follow-up comment on that? I
think you hit the nail on the head and did an excellent job recapping that. I would just add to what I've observed in my years is simply when someone's going to move through, I'm sure you're very familiar with the stages of change model. They don't even know there's a problem. Then they know there's a problem. There's a big fat spotlight of awareness on it. Then they're starting to contemplate, do I make a change? But at some point, that pain of inaction becomes so great. Whatever it may be, we call it rock bottom, something, some external cue finally pushes them to take that one baby step in the right direction. And from there, if they're in the right community, surrounded by like-minded people, the coaching, accountability, support, they're able to use that baby step and turn it into a million baby steps, and the positive changes can begin to happen.
Yeah, you're very right. And usually that rock bottom is when there's an illness. You go to the doctor, and he says, you gotta lose that weight. Or maybe they're, if it's a female, maybe she wants to get married or something. But yeah, there is definitely something that makes you do the work, because nobody wants to do the work. Everybody just prefers to sit and eat fried chicken or ice cream or whatever that is. You know, people don't even want to go take a walk. We have established before we recorded that we're both in Florida. And I just love, I walk, 5K every morning. And I absolutely love it. You know what I mean? Because we're in Florida. I don't have to pay for a gym membership. I do go to the gym once in a while and do some strength training because it's important. But how many people I talk to that don't walk and live right here in Florida?
And you want to know something really
95%.
Interesting?
95%. Right. Go ahead.
with walking. So there's this really cool study that's been going on for 40 or 50 years. It's called the National Weight Control Registry. And what this basically is an ongoing study of what I would officially call like professional weight maintainers. So like to be in this study, you have to have lost at least 32 pounds and kept it off for a year. You go through a bunch of surveys, questionnaires, behavioral analysis every single year. What's really neat though is the average person in this study, in the tens of thousands of people, 80% of which are women, have lost an average of 60 pounds, kept it off for at least 5 years. And the most popular or number one form of exercise amongst these tens of thousands of people is walking. That's it.
Well, I'm telling on myself, but I started off our conversation by saying that I maintain weight. For instance, when everybody was talking, we're doing this interview when COVID is still around, but it's like phasing out, right? Mm-hmm. And there was a study that showed that the average person gained about 12 pounds or 15 pounds or something over. And a lot of people gain a lot of weight because they're just sitting on their butts and they're not doing anything. Even the ones in Florida wouldn't go out and take a walk, right? Do you know that I gained 5 pounds over the entire year? But that 5 pounds was still bad because, like I said, my weight just keeps going up, and I have to work to bring it down. But it goes up gradually. And I was actually proud of myself, 5 pounds in the entire year, which was still bad. And that's because I do have a walking regimen. I do have a walking regimen. Yeah, walking is very good, right? Yeah. And I just can't understand why people don't do it. I don't understand.
You and me both.
I don't understand why people don't do it. All right, so we've had an excellent interview. So now tell us about your program. Tell our listeners and those watching on TV how you can help them maintain their weight loss goals and how they can contact you and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So my core focus where I eat, sleep, breathe, and live these days is called the 5% community. And this is where we particularly work with high achieving women, specifically mothers, to help them reclaim their confidence, their inner peace and calm through learning how to rebuild not only their relationship with food and dieting, but most importantly, the relationship with themselves so that they can lose the weight they want, reclaim their energy, and truly feel, look, and be their best. And the way we do this, our central focus of course, there's plenty of coaching, one-on-one time, online, continuing, therapeutic, and transformational curriculum that is with them every step of the way. But truly the magic comes within our community. When you surround yourself with a group of like-minded individuals, Myrna, just like I know you know this very well, it truly is an opportunity to time collapse your results. Because one of the worst things that I've observed happening, specifically with mothers I've worked with over the years, is we develop this sense that, you know, we are alone in how we feel, alone in what struggles, challenges we have on our plate. You know, mothers in particular have to wear so many hats during the day. You know, their own hat, taking care of themselves, is the lowest on the priority list. But when you surround yourself with like-minded individuals, you can actually restore hope, restore feelings that change is possible. And it's through the collaborative, accountable, and supportive efforts amongst our community, we've really seen some fantastic, sustainable changes. And of course, you know, on the scale, in the mirror, but more importantly, in mindset, relationship, and emotions related to food, eating, and just simply being the best version of ourselves.
Do you use social media to market your business and not sure how to gain followers or sell your products? Then Social Media 101, Awakening the Dinosaur, How to Use Social Media Platforms, Where, What, and How, A Beginner's Guide by Daniel Zane Bryan is your answer. This book would help you navigate through digital sites and platforms such as Facebook, YouTube, WhatsApp, Instagram, WeChat, Tumblr, Twitter, and more. For each site, you will learn what the application is and will be provided a quick user's guide. By the time you are finished reading this reference guide, you will be more familiar with how to navigate your way around 11 social media platforms. Pick up your copy of Social Media 101, Awakening the Dinosaur, How to Use Social Media Platforms, What, Where, and How, A Beginner's Guide today on Amazon. Are you a real estate professional, wholesaler, flipper, contractor, cleaner, or service provider to the real estate industry? Then this networking event is for you. Join the ladies of ABWREI September 24th to 26th for the Real Estate Investment Retreat with educational workshops on Friday, September the 24th from 9 to 5. A property tour on Saturday, September 25th. Yes, you can add your properties to the tour for investors to make offers. Join this networking event where you can mix and pitch your services or properties to a room full of investors. The host hotel is the 12th Centennial Park Hotel, located at 400 West Peachtree Street, Northwest Atlanta. For more information or to join, visit www.abwrei.com, email info@abwrei.com, or call 1-855-716-8283. Would you like a simple, uncomplicated access to the crypto world? Real business, real people, real programs from the Buy Bank and Zen IQ technology? This is how you can make up for whatever you've lost. Maximum protection of digital assets, fusion of the crypto world and the existing financial world. Buy your own Zen IQ hub and begin to receive your Zen IQ token. Earn even more with an affiliate program. Head over to t.me/SAFIR Dubai 1 to register or click the links on the show page, blog.myhelps.us, for more information.
leadership, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starfleet Leadership Academy, its ongoing mission to develop leaders through Star Trek, to boldly go where no podcast has gone before. A Star Trek podcast told through the lens of leadership development. Subscribe today, the Starfleet Leadership Academy.
Did you or someone you know line up outside of Best Buy stores awaiting a voucher to receive either the new, highly sought-after PlayStation 5 console or the Xbox Series X a few weeks ago? How about a restocking app that will tell you where products are? Grayson Adams, a local Atlanta native and KSU graduate, created FastAlerts.io. Here's how it works. You visit the website www.fastalerts.io and you choose the product you want to track, such as the PlayStation 5. The website then checks all retail websites regularly and plays a sound when the gaming console is in stock. You are then taken to the online retailer where you can buy the gaming console for MSRP. Since FastAlerts.io launched in early September, Grayson has helped hundreds of people get a gaming console, many of whom have been previously trying for months. The app is free, with no advertisements or affiliate links. Users from the messaging app Discord are also able to receive alerts from FastAlerts.io directly to their phones or computers. Head over to www.fastalerts.io and get ready for your Christmas shopping.
I like that because, yeah, one of the challenges with most women is they don't lose that baby weight. You know, and the bad thing about it is that it's compounded. So you get your first baby, you kept 20 pounds, and then you get the second baby, and now you're 50 pounds overweight. You know, and it's very hard to lose it because they don't have the time. You know, at least that's what they say. You know, we can always find it.
Good catch.
That's what they say. We don't have the time. I go to work, I gotta look after these kids, I'm tired, and you know, I just go to bed. I don't have the time for exercise and whatever. And you know, eating well, hey, you know, sometimes they eat what they buy for the kids, and you know, the kids are not dieting, so I understand that part. Okay, so that's a great community that you have, that you're focusing on and helping women psychologically, because it's definitely psychological. So all right, you just give us a little bit of that. So you're giving me the background, but then how did they get in contact with you and, you know, that kind of thing?
Absolutely. So the best place to connect and engage with me is on Instagram. I'm active there. You get a good behind the scenes look. And if anything, you get to come hang out with my dog and meet him. He's a ball of love and energy. But on Instagram, you'll get a fantastic feel of, you know, who I am, what I'm about, what our team and community are about. And that's the best place to, you know, actually apply to join the community of like-minded, high-achieving women that we get to work with on a daily basis.
So what's the handle?
And the handle is Paul Salter Coaching.
All right, so you don't have a website?
The best website is going to be thepaulsalter.com.
Okay, awesome. All right, and for those listening and watching, Salter is S-A-U-L-T-E-R. All right,
so that is S-A-L-T-E-R, no U.
Okay, there's no U, right? I'm sorry, you're right. Yes, I'm trying to be helpful here. I actually wrote S-A-L and then I said the U. But yeah, it's S-A-L-T, like salt, right? Paul Salter, thepaulsalter.com.
You got it.
All right. Okay, awesome. All right. Well, we've got a little bit of time. So let me ask you one thing that pertains to women that are over 50. Is there anything that they have to do different to lose weight and maintain that weight loss? Because women over 50 are dealing with the menopausal hormonal stuff.
Fantastic question. I was actually just fortunate enough to have one of my one-on-one clients on my own podcast last week. She is 57 years young and has, you know, dropped significant weight and didn't even start really paying attention or trying, if you will, till I believe age 50 or 51. And I can tell you that on a nuanced level, there are a couple of things to be aware of, a couple strategies that can help you along the way. But ultimately, everything boils down to consistency. Finding a simplistic, unique approach to you related to both nutrition and exercise that you can implement consistently while still living your life to the fullest. But on a nuanced level, a couple days per week of resistance training, and it's going to go very, very far for you. It's going to help you maintain muscle mass, which is something after the age of 35, we begin to lose a little bit every single year. And the reason muscle is so important, aside from you, you know, being able to do everything you want to do physically, is muscle is very energetically costly, meaning we expend a great deal of calories just to maintain it. So you can imagine if you're maintaining more muscle, you burn more calories, you lean out. And then similarly, kind of building off of that is putting an extra emphasis on your protein intake during the day. As we age, particularly after the age of 50, our bodies become less sensitive or less responsive to protein. So we need a little bit more to still have protein do all of the wonderful things it does from us, specifically from a muscle standpoint and appetite management standpoint as well.
Okay. Yeah, so that question was really for me. But so that was great, my listeners as well. So yes, yeah, so I'm doing all those things. You know, I told you already. I walk. I drink protein in the morning with my protein shake. Yeah, so that's basically my consistent diet. I don't have lunch, and then I have dinner, and I focus on eating well, and then I go to the gym. You know, I don't go as often as I should. I guess I should add that. But, you know, I go maybe, let's say, a couple times a month. But now that you're saying that is important to help with the main, you know, losing some of the weight and then maintaining it. So that's great. So that's awesome. Now, you just mentioned that you have a podcast, and I was very impressed by your dialogue and your speech and your energy. So that's great that you're a podcaster. What is the name of your podcast? Hey, come on, show off.
Yes, thank you for those kind words. The name of the show is The Screw the Scale Podcast.
Okay. Screw the Scale. I love it. All right.
It's a lot of fun.
Yes. So we're not going to be, you know, if I were to take the message from that is, we're not going to be jumping on a scale every morning and weighing. We're going to have the mental and emotional stuff down instead of jumping on the scale.
Bingo. You got it. We're going to put that pesky clunk of metal to the side.
I love it. I love it. Can I tune in or what?
Please do. We'd appreciate it.
Yes. Okay. All right. So awesome. Paul, this was a very high energy, lovely interview. We covered a lot of stuff very quickly, which is why we're, you know, we're a little early, but that's great. You know, I love to be able to get good content in. You know, one of the things, you know, I want to circle back on is you said something very important that, you know, we should lose about 0.5%, I think you said, of our body weight per week. So you don't want to go too fast. And I think I heard that, you know, you lose 1 or 2 pounds a week is good. You don't want to like lose 10 pounds or something, because that's usually probably only water weight or something. So that's, you know, one good tidbit. And you give a, you know, you said, you know, that's for somebody that's 200 pounds, that's 1 pound a week or something, right? Was that the numbers?
Yep. 0.5 to 1%.
0.5 to 1%, right? All right. So yeah, I like that. And then we also talked about what diet means. And you know, diet could be intentionally eating, which is basically what everybody thinks of a diet. You go on a diet where you're calorie reducing and you're intentionally eating. And then, you know, and the reason I asked that question is because yes, I've heard that a diet could be what you eat every day. You know what I mean? And that's what you brought out. You brought out that it is your lifestyle, food choices, and how you habitually eat. You know, in the African-American community, that means that a lot of times the reason that they have, you know, I'm from the West Indies, so I'm not necessarily, I don't have an African-American diet, but, you know, I identify with that community. But the African-American diet is, you know, things like fried foods and, you know, cornbread and, you know, all those, you know, high, you know, fatty foods. And that's why the African-American community has a problem with weight, because, you know, of the foods that we eat. Now, then I hear about the Mediterranean diet. The Mediterranean diet is, you know, they don't gain weight because they have a different kind of diet, right? And then we have the, you know, so, you know, it's your lifestyle. So if someone comes into your program, then they are, you know, generally speaking, to become conscious of it, become conscious that maybe your culture, the food that you're eating, what your culture needs to be changed a little bit. And you have a different kind of diet. And I myself has tried to, you know, in the Caribbean, we have a lot of, you know, we eat a lot of rice and vegetables, right? So not that big of meat, because, you know, we're poor countries, we don't have a lot of meat. So I've gone back to, you know, eating that way and concentrating on more vegetables and just a small amount of meat. And that is helping me maintain, but I want to lose. The scale needs to go down. Yes. Any last words for any, before we do that. So I want to thank you, Paul, for a very spirited conversation, very good contact, very good content. You know, my regular listeners know that they can tune in to the show page, which is blog.myhelps.us. And there will be a transcript of my conversation with Paul. If there's anything that you missed, you can have the transcript there. And there will also be links to his podcast, his Instagram feed, and also his webpage. Yep. So, so we will have all that. So once again, thank you. So as we wrap up, Paul, any last words or any inspirational message that you want to leave for our listeners?
Yes, I'll first begin by just saying thank you for the opportunity. I thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. And for the listeners, I would say to you, remember to trust yourself. Like we kind of alluded to early in our discussion, you already know how to eat healthy. You know the difference between, you know, an appropriate portion size and maybe a not so appropriate portion size. And you already know what to do. And before you spend your money and time, energy, and effort trying to outsource to fad diet A, B, and C, focus on making one tiny positive change that is geared towards simply helping you feel a little better. And when you make that change successfully, then insert another one. And you're going to start to build positive momentum, because when you begin feeling better, your energy comes up, your confidence comes up, you're just exuding this different level of energy that then has a nice positive ripple effect on other areas of your life. So now we're talking about creating a win-win-win situation.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's perfect. You know, as salespeople, when I was in sales, that's exactly it. When you get a small little sale, it gives you the confidence to go on and get, you know, so yeah, having those little positive nuggets along the way, that definitely helps. All right, Paul. Well, excellent. Awesome. So we're definitely come to the end of our show. Love talking about weight, love talking about weight loss. Today we spoke about how to, you know, maintain weight loss after you've done a diet and you lost the pounds, how to maintain it. So I think that we did a good job of leaving you some good nuggets. So definitely follow Paul and listen to his podcast. Podcasts are great because you get some really good information on there. You know, I listen to podcasts every day myself. So thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you, Paul. And until next time, blessings.